This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Members of the House and Senate began meeting yesterday to come to some compromise over their two versions of the 2016 budget. Even though it's a tight budget year, the two chambers were actually fairly close in the budgets they approved separately, and now have only some small changes to negotiate. Ashton Mara reports.
The House and Senate each passed their respective budgets last week and have now appointed 14 legislators to work through the areas where the houses don't agree. Higher education is one of those areas. In his proposed budget handed to lawmakers in January, Governor Tomlin cut higher education across the board by nearly 1.5%. Members of the House, however, have taken a special interest in the state's community and technical college system, restoring the more than $1.5 million in funding to all but one CTC in the state. Delegate Eric Nelson is the House's finance chair.
We have a lot of need in our community and technical colleges right now, especially with the growth in certain areas like the oil and gas in the middle part of the state and up north, as well as in the Blue Ridge area and the Eastern Panhandle in needs with increased enrollment. So we just felt that we were putting money back to where it was to have the biggest return going forward.
The Senate has a similar position, investing in an area where the state will see a return in the future. For Senate Finance Chair Mike Hall, that investment is in the state police and their forensics lab. The Senate's budget increases funding for the state police by $6 million in fiscal year 2016, partially for their forensics crime lab. Hall says he and Senate President Bill Cole visited the lab and, because of staffing shortages, saw firsthand the backlog of cases they have, which can lead to higher costs for counties.
The problem there is that if somebody's stuck in a regional jail and they're waiting for their, and they're a pretty bad guy or girl or whatever, if they're kept there waiting for their trial and their trial is delayed and delayed and delayed, the counties are paying, literally, the speculation was millions of dollars. On the low end, $13 million. On the high end, $25, $30, $40 million of regional jail costs that if these things were done quickly, you'd save a lot of money for the county. So this $6 million is not just throwing money to the wind. There's a significant return on investment for our counties.
During the first budget conference committee meeting yesterday, the 14 members came to an agreement on one area of difference: purse funds. Both the horse and dog racing industries have separate purse funds they use to pay winnings. This year, members of the House took $2 million from the purse funds and directed them toward the general revenue budget, while the Senate took only $1 million for Medicaid. In the end, the group compromised, and now $2 million in purse funds will go toward Medicaid next year, on top of the millions of other state and federal dollars appropriated to the service. There are still some other differences between the two budgets. Delegates have passed a bill taking about $21 million from the Rainy Day Fund, while senators needed around $27 million to balance their proposed budget. Governor Tomlin used $15 million from the one-time reserve for his 2016 budget, but says he will be working with lawmakers during the week to keep the number below $30 million. In the end, Senator Hall says few of the current totals, if any, will stay exactly as they are.
When the House and Senate put budgets together, they don't necessarily tend to hold firm. They put numbers in there to probably know they're going to negotiate when you get there, to create a position.
Over the next few days, the Budget Conference Committee will meet in subgroups made up of four or so members, focusing on health, education, infrastructure, and other funding areas. They'll negotiate an agreement, and the full legislature is expected to vote on the final budget Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
And as lawmakers work out the budget details at the state capitol, the West Virginia Treasurer's Office will host its first countywide Get a Life budget simulation over the next 2 days in Putnam County. Clark Davis has more.
The program for 8th grade students in Putnam County will show them how a budget is put together. The 2-day event, Tuesday and Wednesday, at the Navy Reserve Center in Putnam County, will also teach kids the importance of properly handling money. More than 700 8th grade students have been invited to participate in the financial education activity titled Get a Life. It's an interactive activity that engages students with realistic family budget scenarios. Students from all four middle schools in Putnam County will participate. It's the first time the activity has been organized on a countywide level. More than 50 community volunteers, including several mayors and other officials, are expected to take part. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Cloudy skies today. There is a chance of rain. Temperatures in the 50s, falling into the 40s in the northern portion of the state. Partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 20s. Mostly sunny on Wednesday, a little cooler with daytime highs in the 40s. Becoming mostly cloudy Wednesday night, a chance of rain on Thursday with highs in the 40s to near 50 degrees. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection hosted a public hearing last night in Charleston to discuss a new air quality permit for natural gas facilities in the state. As Glynis Board reports, some wish the DEP would use the permit writing process to incorporate suggestions from scientists who have studied air around gas facilities.
The State Department of Environmental Protection's Division of Air Quality has been scrambling to keep up with federal air quality regulations and a growing natural gas industry. Both have been evolving rapidly over the last several years. In an attempt to stay current and streamline the process, there's a new permit that's proposed that would take the place of several others.
We actually currently have 4 different general permits for the natural gas industry. The first one we issued in the early 2000s, it was for compressor stations.
Beverly McEwen is the new source review program manager within the West Virginia Division of Air Quality. She explains that natural gas industry processes have been getting increasingly complicated as gas development continues throughout North and North Central West Virginia. That's why the DEP is proposing a new permit named G80.
So one of the things we've done with our new proposed G80 is basically take 3 of those 4 existing general permits, put them all in one general permit to reduce confusion as to, well, which general permit do I need to apply for if you're in the natural gas industry?
Similar to the old permits, the new permit would require companies to list air pollution projections related to natural gas production, compressor, and dehydration facilities based on the emission outputs of on-site equipment. But one difference would be that federal rules are incorporated by reference. McEwen says simply referencing federal parameters enables the state to avoid having to modify existing permits. That way, the DEP more easily stays in compliance with federal mandates and more efficiently keeps industry in compliance.
So we're just kind of trying to update it, make it a little bit more of a living document, so to speak, in terms of like those federal rules, so that if that changes, those provisions are in that general permit.
A comment period is open to find out if members of the public, industry, and environmental groups are comfortable with a single permit to monitor and predict emissions instead of individual permits tailored to various natural gas facilities.
We think it just, you know, if it's one permit, it makes it easier for everybody. But again, we need that feedback. Everybody might not feel the same.
At a sparsely attended public meeting in Charleston, co-founder of the West Virginia Surface Owners Rights Organization, David McMahon, stood to voice concerns for residents who live close to these gas facilities. He cited an air study commissioned by the West Virginia Legislature in 2011, conducted by the School of Public Health at West Virginia University in 2012. It was presented to the legislature, but McMahon says the report and its recommendations have been more or less ignored by lawmakers and state officials ever since. McMahon pointed out that the study found that regardless of current laws and regulations, air pollutants around gas facilities sometimes reached dangerous levels at distances deemed legally safe.
But the point you want to make here is that you've got the power to do more. You should do more, particularly with regard to ongoing measurement. We think this is an opportunity because the Horizontal Well Act gives DEP rulemaking authority, doesn't necessarily derive from the Clean Air Act, doesn't derive from the state's implementation of the Clean Air Act, gives the state the ability to do a rulemaking and take steps to protect surface owners.
The study, commissioned by lawmakers, recommends throwing out regulations that cite facilities at any fixed distance. Instead, scientists say real-time monitoring should be employed so that companies can respond to dangerous pollutants immediately. In a short question-answer period at the end of the public hearing, DEP officials responded to questions about additional air monitoring by more or less saying that their mandate was simply to fulfill the letter of state and federal law. DEP will be accepting comments on the new natural gas air permit until March 30th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
And if you'd like to learn more about how to comment on the DEP's proposed natural gas air permit, go to our website, wvpublic.org. Meanwhile, the U.S. Forest Service extended the comment period on whether portions of the Jefferson National Forest can be surveyed for a possible natural gas pipeline route. Jesse Wright has more.
A special use permit would be required before surveying could be done in the National Forest for the proposed Mountain Valley Pipeline. The Forest Service's original deadline for comments was February 13th. Comments will now be taken until April 2nd. The deadline extension is in response to a new permit application filed on March 4th by the Mountain Valley Pipeline Company. Mountain Valley filed the application because new routes it is considering for the pipeline would cross sections of the forest not covered in previous survey applications. Forest Service Staff Officer Ken Langriff said there's no need to resubmit comments on the previous survey application as they will still be considered. The Forest Service says new comments on the old survey application also will be accepted until April 2nd. The Mountain Valley Pipeline Company wants to survey new sections of the Jefferson National Forest in Monroe County and three counties in Virginia. In February, a group of concerned citizens from Monroe County hand-delivered almost 800 letters of protest about the pipeline survey application to the Forest Service's office in Virginia. The proposed 42-inch pipeline would carry natural gas from Wetzel County, West Virginia, to another pipeline in Pennsylvania County in Virginia. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
Comments on the survey application can be mailed, emailed, or faxed to the U.S. Forest Service. Visit our website, wvpublic.org, to find out more. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.